You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and delighted to be joined on this edition by Leona Mayer. Leona, great to see you. I believe you tipped a few winners for us last time we did the podcast. Can I claim as that I am your lucky charm, maybe?
I don't know, I hope so. We'll see after today.
Just before we get your selections, this week, you was the Cheltenham boost. You have chosen a horse what you think could win this year's Cheltenham Gold Cup. Just tell the listeners now what horse you chose.
Yeah, obviously, I went for Thistlecrack, actually, because I think, and you agreed with me, that I think he's probably the each-way pick of the festival. Obviously, we know he's not been without his issues recently, but he came back from a break, of course. He's had his two runs since then. He's been placed on both those occasions, and I think he ran well on both of those. And, of course, we all know how much he loves Cheltenham, obviously, this time of year as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing him back at his best in the Gold Cup. Whether he will win, I'm not sure, but I do think he's definitely a good each-way angle into the race.
I agree with everything you've just said, but I'm going to ask you a question about him, actually, right? So let's pretend you're Colin Tizard, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you go for the Gold Cup?
Yes.
Or would you revert back to hurdles and go back for the stayers? The only reason why I'm asking is because a few people have said he should go back hurdling.
Yeah, well, possibly, but unfortunately as well, I think it's one of those, we see a lot of chasers, when they do go back to the hurdles, they don't jump very well.
True.
Because
overjumping.
Yeah, well, or they just don't make any effort because they don't respect them. So obviously you get it in eventing as well, show jumping, that kind of world. Horses, if they've jumped a metre 10 and you take them down to 80, they don't respect them and they just think, oh, whatever. And they don't jump them properly, you know, which obviously in the case of going back to hurdling, it could be more dangerous for him, having had his issues and his injuries, to maybe take him back to hurdling, so...
I do agree with you. I think he's the each way better than the Gold Cup, definitely, especially at a double-figure price as well.
Yeah.
Right then, how's your lad getting on?
Yeah, good. Eventer, obviously, we've talked about him a bit in the past, haven't we? He got himself injured in August, he had his box rest and slowly brought him back into work. We're now back up to full work, and we're managing to walk, trot, canter around the indoor, and I've managed to stay on him and not be thrown off, which is good, of course, through excitedness or freshness. So he's back into full work, and fingers crossed, hopefully we should be eventing back, hopefully in April, so I would think I'll be on here again either sometime before then or during, so I can update how we're getting on.
What's it actually taking for you to getting back up to full work? Because last time I spoke to you, you said obviously there were a few issues, there was a few problems. You know, well, what is the process for people listening now for him to get back up to full work?
Yeah, obviously they have to have box rest. It depends on the injury, you know. But for what he did, which is a high-end suspensory, the issue, of course, with horses is they have to use their legs every day, which is why as soon as they get a leg injury, it's a bad thing because they have to be stood on them. So he had box rest to try and obviously keep the damage to a minimum whilst he was recovering, and then it was very kind of short, minimal road work. Walking and then building up to trotting, and of course he did a lot of in-hand leading as well, which again is something, it would all be very similar to race horses, and you just have to take your time. He's not able to go out in the field yet because again turnout is unrestricted exercise, so there's nobody of course on board to stop them being silly or to stop them being too silly, you know. So he isn't going out in the paddock yet, but you know, you just have to take your time building them up. It's the, you know, and racehorses are exactly the same. Everything is just to slowly, and hope that, you know, that he builds himself up gradually and doesn't over, you know, work and injure himself again. So.
And what event are we likely to see him in next then?
I don't know, to be honest. A lot of it depends on ground as well, you see, because in the UK for British eventing, you know, they do start, their season starts in March, but the ground could be awful, you know, for the first month or so. Well, he won't go then, again, because of the injury. I would be even more inclined to wait until the ground is very nice and not too wet and not too deep or whatever. Don't want him slipping either. So I will definitely wait until at least April and then kind of plan from there. And at the minute, I'm kind of a bit dubious to say I'm going to make for that one. on because I think I'll be jinxing myself in case he might injure himself again. So I'm just taking it slowly and hoping that come April time, he'll still be sound and I can think, right, that's the aim in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever.
How long have you had him for now?
A year and a half, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so since last August.
When did he sustain the injury?
August just gone. So right. I'd had him a year just when he did it. Unfortunately, but these things happen, unfortunately.
And it's been has it been like a long road to recovery, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it doesn't help either because, of course, it's over the winter. Well, the weather's horrible anyway. Of course, you know, it'd be nice for him to go out and play. And, of course, he misses other horses as well because they obviously are herd animals and misses probably the interaction. So he's bored as well. But it could be worse, of course. He could have been injured all summer when it's nice and sunny and he would really want to be out then, and I would want him to be out. So I suppose in a way he's missed most of the rain, which is a good thing.
Has he had lots of polos?
Yeah. Polos and carrots. Keep him sweet, or try to.
Great stuff. Wish you all the best with your lad going forward. Now, two selections from you. As always, we always ask this in the podcast. And I believe you've gone for the feature at Lingfield tomorrow afternoon on the all weather. And then you've gone for the feature at Musselburgh tomorrow afternoon as well. Do I start with Lingfield?
Yeah, because Lingfield's first. So at Lingfield 2:30, it's just quite a small field there. So they've only got five or six runners, depending on if they all go. I actually really like Gorgeous Nora in there. Obviously, we've seen Archie Watson, of course, amazing trainer so far from what we've seen. Obviously doesn't have a massive string as of yet, but I would think that's going to be making an incline as he goes on because he's doing really well, isn't he? This horse had, Gorgeous Nora had the first run for the yard last time. That was in a class three, got beaten less than, I think it was a length and a neck for the winner in the third. Didn't get a clear run inside the final furlong either. I think that obviously didn't help matters and probably did well again to pick up to finish third. So I think we could see more from Gorgeous Nora. Obviously Hollydoyle takes a ride, that's no negative either. And in just a small field, we've got a few awkward-ish ones, should I say, that, you know, need the race to be run to suit. Shamshan, I can kind of put a line through because he seems a lot better at five than six, and that leads me on to Gorgeous Nora.
So Gorgeous Nora, the selection in the 2:30 at Lingfield, and to complete the double, the features for afternoon is the 2:55 at Musselburgh.
Yeah, and again, the 2:55, we haven't got many runners in there, so small field. Royal Reserve is the one that I'm going to go for. We didn't see this one for a bit, finished fourth way too many times, which was frustrating. And then had a few months off. First run back last time was a winner. That was after a short, I think it was three or four months break. Won at Newcastle on that occasion over 2 miles in a class four. So it's slightly going up in grade. And of course, the handicapper has put him up. Only put him up £3 though, which I think was £5, sorry, from 113 to 118, which I don't think was unreasonable. Is going up in grade slightly, but I think this looks quite an easy race for the grade because there's not too many to take on. Obviously, we've got Green Zone. That was a winner, but it was a few runs ago. Now is foul since then. Desert Island Duck, we need to see more from, and the only other one is Nayarti, who again we have seen some nice enough form from, but been out of sorts the last couple of runs. So Royal Reserve for me, I think, I would hope, might be quite an easy winner of that 2:55.
So just to confirm the selections then, it's Gorgeous Nora to win the 2:30 at Lingfield and Royal Reserve to win the 2:55 at Musselburgh.
Yeah, that's right. I like them both. I think they both got good chances, and I think Archie Watson definitely a trainer to keep an eye on for the future.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, as always, a pleasure to work with you, Leona, and I look forward to working with you again. You can tell me how the event is going with your lad.
Yeah, and hopefully we can give more winners if these two win.
Yeah, definitely indeed. Tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on a Friday afternoon. There's an action-packed afternoon of racing and also all-weather action in the evening. It's on air from 12:45 PM with John Gibby, Ross Briley and Craig Forsyth.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.